I don't know of a better song to start off this teaching tonight than Holding God's Unchanging Hand. We are a very blessed people because we have a God that we can count on. Because God is unchanging, we can be grateful because we have something to look forward to. Now, you know, I've been noticing that if there was a fault among the brethren, okay, and I, we're all trying to get to heaven. That's the key. We're all trying to get to heaven. But sometimes we may sound as though you have to be perfect to get to heaven. That somehow there's this element of Superman involved, that somehow we have to do these incredibly wonderful things and just be this perfect person. And God forbid, no one's ever believes that. But we can apply that in how we talk. You're looking at a man who is struggling to get to heaven. I want you to understand that. Now, let me tell you something. What you see here, this facade, let me tell you, this is a guy who is struggling to get to heaven. And when I'm looking out in the audience, I think there are probably some others out there that are struggling to get to heaven too. Getting to heaven is not going to be an easy deal. It never was intended to be. When I read about Stephen who was martyred in, I think, Acts 8 or Acts 9, I always wondered why God allowed that man to die. He was a righteous dude. And yet he was allowed to die as to give us an example of what true dedication is all about. But again, this is the perfection that God would like us to attain. And I think when God says, be ye perfect as, be ye perfect as, God is perfect. No, the whole idea around that, I don't think God is insisting that you're perfect. No, I don't believe that. I believe that God has, saying, look, I want you to strive for that. This is what I want you to do. Now, every night, I can't say every day, but just about, I'd say several times a week, I go to my God in heaven and I pray, God, help me to be a better person tomorrow than I was today. Help me to be a better person tomorrow than I was today. Because at some point, I've reached what I call the big block wall. This is a wall that I can't get through. There is no way in God's green earth I'm going to get past this wall. The only way it's going to happen is God's going to enable it to happen. Okay? That's the only way it's going to happen. So we're going to look at Psalms 103. Now, Psalms 103 is something, it was something I read at the funeral at Robert Sinclair. And the reason why, because it has so much hope. Now, here was a man who I found out was not a very godly person up until he was about 60. And one day, his daughter taught him the truth. And he began to look at the Word of God and seeing what God was requiring out of him. Completely changed that man's life. But not after he had 4 or 5 kids, who never got to know that. It was only his grandchildren who got to know this. This life-changing thing. They got to see this beautiful grandfather who was not a very godly guy during his life. I need to believe that I'm going to go to heaven. I need to believe that. I do. And I need as much joy and hope as I possibly can get. Because there are days when I wake up in the morning and say, I'm not nearly what I should be. I'm lazy at times. I'm lazy. I'm not willing to do what God has. I don't read His Word as I should at times. I'm telling you, these are the struggles that we struggle with every day. But we have a lot to be happy about. A lot. So why should I have hope? And that's synonymous with joy. How can I have that? The psalmist writer writes this, very first two verses, and he says, and then he starts enumerating the benefits. Look at this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I mean, I can just see him. He feels this in his inner being. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I mean, every fiber of my body. God, I'm thankful for you. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's going to say it again. And forget not all his benefits. And there are many. in Psalms 103, 3 through 4. And here's the benefit. Just one of many benefits he's going to enumerate in Psalms 103. Who forgives all your iniquities. All. That's everything. He forgives everything. I was a murderer? Yeah, I can be forgiven of that. I don't care what the sin was. Now, we have levels of sin and different, you know, we categorize, you know, that was an adulterer. Oh, and that guy was a murderer. And or this guy just said a little white lie. But we have this way of doing this. But let me tell you something. All that sin is forgiven. It is an unqualified statement. All your sins are forgiven. Who heals your diseases. This is very interesting because if you look in the Old Testament, you see God actually doing that. Trying to make himself known to the people. Look, I'm still here, and I'm still around, guys. Let me show you what I can do. And he does this. I can only imagine when Moses lifted up the bronze serpent, right? Until they looked, they were not cured. Only when they looked did they get their curing. Okay, I can imagine. So when I read this verse, I'm thinking along those lines of all the things that God has done and manifest himself in the lives of men and how he was able to cure them of their, all these things. You look at, what was it, Naaman, who was cured of leprosy? He had to go down and dip himself 7 times in the River Jordan. I'm telling you, we can get into a whole sermon on this. Who redeems your life from destruction. Wow. Wow, I can be destroyed. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Wow, and you're wondering why I should have joy? Am I worthy of this? I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think if you read the Old Testament, which we're doing right now, and we read 1st, 2nd Samuel, you know, these guys, none of them were wired. They all had problems. But you know, they kept repenting and turning back to their God. And the ones who didn't, they died. Oh, they were destroyed. They were destroyed. God will not put up with a haughty mind who will not repent. He will not put up with it. And you see that in the Old Testament. What troubles me is when I hear about suicide. And what troubles me is when I hear people among my own brethren who do not really seem to appreciate what they have. We are a blessed people. You know, I don't think I've ever been hungry. Not once. I've never been hungry. Unless I fasted on my own. Can you imagine living in a country that I never had to worry about what I'm going to have in my plate every day? Never had to worry. And yet we have people, you're talking Dow, they're popular, they're making money, and they're winding up killing themselves. We have hope and joy that is indescribable. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how bad it gets. You've got a God in heaven who is right there with you. And he's going to make you go through this. You can't get off that train. You're going to have to go through this. But God will help you through this. He has loving kindness and tender mercy toward us. One of the reasons why I'm a follower is that I believe I have hope. I have hope. It's the only thing that keeps me moving. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, makes this comment. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, that's everyone, every single soul on this planet, should come to repentance. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's another verse from your scriptures. Repentance is the key. And you're wondering why I have joy. All right. Psalms 103, 5 through 6. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. We talk about having food in abundance on my table. Wow. Big blessing. So that your youth is renewed like eagles. Now, really? I mean, if I'm an old guy, hey, even the old guys, man, can get a little bit of that eagle stuff, right? We need that eagle stuff. Okay, so what God is saying, look, I'm going to tell you old guys, let me tell you, I can give you energy that no one else can give you. And I can make you fly like an eagle. We're not talking a high like some kind of a drug high. We're talking about God in us and empowering us to do good things. And we soar. Yes, we soar. And we should soar. And if we're not, then we're not looking at what God wants for us. And it goes for the women and the men. All of us can be soaring for God, and we need to be doing this. The good news is, God is extremely fair. It says the Lord executes righteousness. I don't care who you are, what your race is, what your social economic standing is. God is going to hold you to the same standard. And he will provide justice for those who oppress us. God is in charge of this world. Not the United States government. Not the United Nations. God is in charge. And I don't care how bad it gets, I will tell you that God is in control of what's going on around this place. And it's going to all meet God's will. God's will is going to prevail. Man may not, but he will prevail. He is going to take care of us. Again, we live in a very unjust world. But God will continue to be just. In a world we can't control, but God is in control. Psalms 103, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Why is that important? I need to know that God is in control of what's going on around here. And history, if we look at the Old Testament, we see it replete. God is in control. I don't care how man, the devices of man and their schemes and all their evil, they have never been without with God. God is in control. He's going to take care of these problems. All we need to do is stay faithful and keep our focus on him. Not on all this smoke screen that's going on around us. We need to keep our focus on God. God will be the anchor that will carry us through all this. Notice he calls them children. We're going to get more into that. We live in a very dangerous world. But I don't care how bad it gets, we can have confidence that God is going to deliver us. Psalms 103:8. The Lord is merciful. Again, it's a repeat. He keeps repeating this. Why would you repeat this, God? Because you wanted to get into our brains that God is a merciful and gracious God, and he wants to work with you. But you have to want to work with him. And he's slow to anger. Now, he's not like me. I'm a hothead. Hey, listen, if I get in a bad problem, I take Zoloft to keep myself stable, because I tell you, I really got a bad temper. Well, Miss Beeler, she knows that. She knows. I've talked to her about it. But God is slow to anger. He waits, and he patiently waits with us. And he's abounding in mercy. And you're wondering why I have joy. Now, this is something is really odd. God, in his inspiration for the Holy Spirit, has put this little phrase right in the middle of this. It's almost like it's trying to, I don't know, whack it down a little bit, you know? Because it says in 103:9, he will not always strive with us. Now, as a parent, I know what that means. I've had children who just pulled every chain, not doing what they should be doing, and they kept doing these things I told them not to be doing. And at some point, I stopped striving with them. No. I mean, I punished them. And I punished them diligently. But he's not going to keep his anger forever. He's not going to hold back that temper. At some point, he's going to get ticked off, and he's going to decide to take it into his own hands and wreak righteous judgment on each one of us. If this doesn't make you somewhat afraid, you should be afraid. Again, he goes on. Now we start talking about all these benefits again. Remember, the benefits are coming at a cost. You have to be doing something. It doesn't come for free. Something has to be done. You know, as James mentioned, you know, hey, faith without works is dead. Oh, the devil believes. Just because you believe, hey, even the devil believes in God. You know, so don't come to me, as even James is saying, don't come to me telling me, hey, how faithful you are if you're not doing anything. In Psalm 103, 10 through 12, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Again, we're just repeating this again in a different way. Now he's going to show you how big this not punishing us is. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy. We can't even begin to fathom how much mercy and grace God has toward us. Can't even begin to fathom this. So great toward his mercy to those who fear him. You're going to see this word now. You're going to see this word to those who fear him throughout the rest of this chapter. Now, you know, I know we like to sugarcoat this thing and say, you know, it's reverential awe. Well, let me tell you, all the people who translated these different versions, almost all of them use the word fear. Now, I made a comment when I was a father. My girls were either going to do it because it was in their best interest, or they were going to do it because they feared me. Okay? I think that's probably a good analogy here. You know, God's saying, look, you know, if you're concerned about me and you have a certain respect for me, if you have a certain, even a little bit of a fear of me, hey, I like that. Because that means you're listening to me. You're not blowing me off and going off and doing your own thing. So he says here, he has not dwelt with us according to our sins. And who is he not dealing according to our sins? It's those who fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Yeah, we blow it. We blow it maybe a lot more than we'd like to admit. But God is willing to work with us. Now, I'm not preaching that we may sin, that grace may abound. God forbid, I'm not saying that. I am saying that when you blow it and you repent of your sins, you have a God in heaven says, okay, this is a guy I can work with. And when I look at David, come on, are you killing me? Telling me, oh, this guy murdered Bathsheba's son, her husband, commits adultery with her, okay? And you know what the wages of that was? He was to be stoned to death, I believe. Am I right? I believe that there was a penalty, and the penalty was to die for that sin. And he was forgiven of that sin because he repented. Not like Saul. No, Saul wouldn't repent. And he died. David did not. But I'm going to tell you, it's those who fear him. Psalms 103, 13 through 14. As the father pities his children. Now, God is going to even change this around. He's trying to reach you, and he's saying, look, everybody can relate to a father. Come on. Everybody can relate to a father who pities his kids. And he says, look, so the Lord, hey, look, I'm a whole lot better father than any of you guys ever were. I'm going to tell you, I pity my children. But for those who fear him, I'm telling you, he repeats himself a lot here. For he knows our frame. This is very, very helpful to me. And one of the reasons why I'm still a New Testament Christian, he remembers that we are but dust. That's what we are. They're going to put us in the ground, and we're going to decay in that ground. But I'm going to tell you something. That soul of yours is not going to decay. It is after God's own image, and it will be with Him in the end. Or the other way. He knows we're but dust. What father would demand of his children more than they can accomplish? I know of no father would require that, unless he's just a plain bad father. Nobody expects out of the kids more than they can deliver. Is God no less of a father than we are? I don't think so. He's a far greater, far more loving, kind father. But don't push him. I think verse 8 showed that. Don't push me, because let me tell you something. I'm not going to strive with you forever, guys. I expect you to be fearful of me and to do what I say. Boy, it sounds almost like I'm talking to teenagers, right? Really, you think about it. That's exactly the conversation we have with our kids. And yet that's the kind of conversation I'm seeing here with God, with us. Verses 15-17. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And its place, remember it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. You know, my great-grandfather, I do not know where the man is buried. I don't even know where my grandfather's buried. He's somewhere up in Chillicothe, Ohio. I will probably remember, I certainly will remember where my mom and dad will be buried. I'm telling you, within three generations, your history. They might have your name somewhere that they'll, that was Jack Haynes, Jr. Okay, they'll remember maybe that, but that's about as far as it goes. But I'll tell you, God will never forget you. You are going to be always, that mercy is everlasting, everlasting on anyone who fears him. And it's going to be going on and on. That mercy is going to go on and on and on for every New Testament believer, anyone who is doing what is right in God's eyes. We are here for such a short time. We are here for such a short time. We will never die. We will never die. Nor will we ever be forgotten. And this is available to every generation, but only to those who fear him. Verse 18, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Again, we talk about faith without works is dead, according to James. And here, this is just a repeat of that. The idea is that when God has said no to something, it's no. It's not maybe. It's not yes. It's no. And if it's yes, it's yes. We don't want to diminish from God's teachings, and we don't want to add to God's teachings. When it came to become a New Testament believer, we didn't go off on man-made ideas of how to be saved. No, we went back to the Word of God and we said, what does the Lord reveal of what it takes to be saved? And you know what? That's good enough for me. Because let me tell you something. I'm going to hang my hat on what God has said, not what some pundit has said, not what some educated, I'm not going to put my trust in human knowledge. We talked about why we have all these denominations. We have all these denominations because people do not know the Word of God. They don't. They get the Word of God from the guy up at the pulpit, and he may or may not even really use a whole lot of the Word. That's about all they know about what is right. Man says, well, how is it possible we have 1,800, 2,000, 10,000 denominations? I'll tell you why you got 10,000 denominations. We got 10,000 denominations because people are not going back to the Word for the final authority on the answer. When God has spoken, I listen. Bear in mind, I fear God and I listen to Him. I understand what it means to be concerned, to be respectful. I know that. And I will keep every word that God has spoken right here in my heart. I will not add nor subtract from God's word. I will not diminish from His teachings. I will not presume one bit to what God has not revealed. I will not do that. If God has not revealed it, I'm going to be quiet about it. I'm going to be silent. Yes, I will be silent where God is silent. There are many people out there who take God's silence to be, well, whatever I want to do is okay. As long as the end justifies the means and God is silent, I have the authority to do whatever I want. There are people out there that believe that. I do not uphold that. When God is silent about something, I will not dare add to what He has not taught me. For example, why is this worship so simple? There's a reason for that. Now, we can let human wisdom, there are all kinds of good reasons for doing more and putting, there's all these good reasons, but they're man-made reasons. I stay with the Word of God only in my life, and I hope I will continue to do so. Verse 19, the Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. That means every nation on this world, on this planet. God is over everything. Nations will go away. Governments will be replaced. Just had an opportunity to bring the kids over and look at Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't even find the guy's his city until the late 1800s, and then they found literally thousands of mosaics, these little ceramic tiles, and they found Nebuchadnezzar's name written on a lot of the cornerstones of the buildings that they excavated. You can't even find it anymore. They didn't even know it existed, and there it was, you know. I don't care how solid the government may look, it will never outdo what God has, God's kingdom. Psalms 103, 20 through 22. Bless the Lord, you His angels who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now let me tell you, do you get the feeling that doing something is important here? Do His word, heeding His voice. Wow, really? Because I fear Him. I do. I have reverential respect for Him. If I'm not a Trump, you may be a Trumper, you may not be a Trumper, but let me tell you something. If the President of the United States were to walk into this room, I would show him the respect he deserves. Because he is representing the United States of America. He deserves that. I may disagree with him in his philosophy, his what he wants to do. You know, I may disagree with him, but he is still the President of the United States. Let me tell you, when I have a God in heaven that I'm approaching, I'm telling you, I should show similar respect and awe of him, even greater. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I'm telling you, this guy, when he wrote that, I mean, he was pouring it out on paper. This is a guy's emotions that were right on his sleeve. He was a very grateful God for all the benefits that he had. But brethren, it's all about doing His will. Now remember James 2:17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You can't be ignorant of God's word and expect to be pleasing to Him. How can I know what the commandments are? How can I even know what the divinely inspired examples of worship are if I don't know the Word of God? The only reason why I'm in this building right now with this group of people is because they put a premium on what God has said. Now, I know what the world says about us. Yes, we are a bunch of, I've heard the legalistic term. You are legalistic. But let me tell you something. I just want to please God. And I know the only way I can please Him is to do His will. That means I have to know what the Word has to say. You can't be ignorant here. If you violate the law of the United States, does that somehow absolve you? That you become innocent because you didn't know? Are you kidding me? No, if you don't do what you don't do a law and you break a law, I'll guarantee, even if you didn't know it, you will be held accountable. And I feel accountable to Him. We all should feel accountable. So I have every reason to be full of joy, to be thankful, and to be empowered to do the right thing, and you can too. I think sometimes we get into this negative rut, I'm just not enough. I blew it last week. Whatever your excuse is, God understands you and He's willing to work with you where you're at. Thank God He's that kind of a God. Because I know brethren may not be that way, but I'll tell you, my God in heaven's that way. But you have to give your life in the service of God. He has to be the most important one in your life. Not wife, not parents, no, not even the government. He has got to be first in everything that you do and everything you say. And you know what? Doing God's will and showing a proper fear for Him shows up in these kind of things. To become a New Testament Christian, you have to do these things. You have to hear the Word of God. That means you have to come in here and go to the Word of God and go look at it, for crying out loud. Get a look at it. You got to hear the Word. And then you have to, if you're dealing with a God in heaven, certainly you should be believing that Jesus is the Christ. Repenting. All of us need to repent. All of us, including those who are not found in Christ. And you need to be baptized into Christ. You need to be putting on Christ. As Galatians 3:27, you're clothed with Christ. And I tell people, when you're clothed with Jesus Christ, God sees Jesus. He doesn't see you. You're clothed with Jesus Christ. And you need to live a faithful life. And there's the book, chapter, and verses for all that. Won't you do that now? Show your fear and respect for God now by coming and becoming a New Testament Christian as we stand and as we sing.